I'd like to welcome everybody to another episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. We've got a bunch of distinguished professionals within the law enforcement community. We've got Chief Johnson. We've got Deputy Chief Cavelli making his first appearance. And we've got Michelle Markham, who's the PIO of the Rockford Police Department, which we're going to be talking about in more detail later on. We have AJ from the ILACP. Checking in on the side of the organization. This portion of the show, or this entire show, is sponsored by me at Team Hochberg. If you're looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home, we give substantial closing cost discounts to all first-time home buyers, especially if you are a member of the law enforcement, military, family, friends of officers and military. We pass along the same type of savings. Rates are coming down. So if you bought a home in the past couple, 3 years, probably a good time checking with me to see if we could save you some money. Okay, now that the business side's out of it, my phone number is 312. No, it's not. It's 855-56-DAVID, which is 855-563-2843, or go to our website, 56david.com. Now that we got that out of the way.
You almost gave out your personal phone number, didn't you, for your house?
Well, that's 773-456-6526. You could call me there at any time. I'm a full service access type of mortgage professional, Chief. You need to get a hold of me. You haven't having a mortgage meltdown, Chief. You need to have my cell phone number. There you go.
You told me it was 867-5309.
That's my private one, but thanks for giving that out. That's the one we exchange all of the personal text messages, but I appreciate you exposing that to everybody. So listen, it's Thursday morning. It's the 5th of September. We all know what happened yesterday in Georgia, which would be a nice segue over to talk in more detail with what Michelle does. But the horrific event happened down in Georgia, another high school shooting, two students dead, two faculty dead, and I believe nine other students and faculty injured in the hospital recovering. Horrific event. Prayers and wishes. Don't stop bullets. This keeps happening. So I want to talk it over. I want to throw it over to Deputy Chief Cavelli and Chief Johnson, because you guys are at the front line, and then obviously throw it over to Michelle, because Michelle is going to be out there with all the information. But as a chief and deputy chief, I'll throw it to you, Chief, because you outrank right now, at least the deputy chief, until he gets his break to be the chief someplace. What's going through your mind when you get that email, when you get the text, hey, this just happened? What goes through your mind, and what are you thinking within your community?
Within seconds of finding out what's going on nationwide, I reach out to our school resource officers, put them on high alert. Although it'd be a low chance this far away in, southern Illinois for that to happen all the way from Georgia, you just never know. But more as important with that is the anxiety of parents, students, and faculty. So letting our school resource officers know, all of our patrol division was briefed immediately. They immediately began stepping up their patrols. This morning, one of the reasons I was almost late getting here is every one of my officers and detectives and command staff were out front of all of our schools in our community, sending a message to family, friends, faculty, everybody that we're doing everything we can here to prepare and make sure it doesn't happen. I think it is a sign of American society that this happens over and over again. Some things that, and of course, this is one day later, so these details may change. But my understanding is the school resource officers and the officers on patrol in Georgia made the arrest and arrested this individual. He was planning on going to other schools. There's a preschool really close, and he thwarted those additional attempts, the school resource officers and the officers. And then from my standpoint, miles and miles away from Georgia, their public information officers did an amazing job getting information out there, because it's that panic that all the families have. I mean, immediately I think about My kids, So they did a great job getting information out there, letting them know the bad guy's in custody, the school is secure, all those types of things. And that's why the public information officers, the PIOs, are so absolutely critically important that we got to get that information out.
Deputy Chief Covelli, is that show of force in front of a school? What does that do for not only the teachers and the parents, but the students that
It's
attend those schools?
important to do at the schools that aren't directly affected, and it's more than a show of force. It's a presence. It's meant to be a calming presence because communities across America yesterday were very concerned when this happened. They're concerned about their kids who are in school. They're concerned about their communities, and that's where law enforcement steps in and does whatever they can do to try to quell those concerns and tamper down that fear that's existing and show the community, hey, we are here. We've got your back. We're here to support you. And that's really what it's all about when a situation like this happens. And to echo what the chief said, not a call that anybody would want to receive. Certainly that they've got an active shooter anywhere, especially at a school. Situation we see all too commonly across the country. It's absolutely tragic. It does have to stop. And it sounds like having that school resource officer on the property there was a huge, huge benefit. And that's what they do. School resource officers are all about engaging positively with the kids that are there. It's not about being a cop in a school enforcing the rules. It's about having that positive mentorship and being there when the worst thing imaginable happens. That's why they're in existence. That's why school districts all across the country contract with law enforcement to have a school resource officer there. Very, very important. And just touching on the public information aspect, 4 hours in, we saw the sheriff from that county come out and give the first update. And you saw that demand from the media, that demand from the community, that they wanted some answers. And they did a great job providing the information that there is no more threat. The shooter is in custody. That is so important to get out to the community because they are going to be terrified that this person isn't in custody and that they're going to strike again. So as soon as that can get out, it should get out. And it did. And that's terrific. And you saw them pressing for some questions. Now, on the public information front, I always look at things through a very critical lens. And one of the things the sheriff mentioned when he came out is that I'm not going to answer questions. That's going to create a bit of a challenge with the media that's there because they want to be able to ask those questions. And really, we need somebody that can answer the basics, talk about what we know at this time. Things are going to change. This is early, but there's information we can put out. And if we don't, make no doubt about it, the media is going to get it from another source. And then we run into issues that, hey, who is the lead external communicator on this incident? Who is providing the information? We don't want leaks and we don't want misinformation. And that can only come from a trusted source continually updating the media. The textbook says in a critical incident, we need to be on camera as soon as we possibly can, as soon as those cameras arrive, giving routine updates. We need to be updating social media every 10 to 20 minutes. And those are tall lifts, they're heavy lifts, but we need to plan in advance to ensure that we're doing those things.
I'm going to throw it over to Michelle. I'm going to bring you back to Highland Park. Whoops, Chief Johnson kind of disappeared on us there. Hopefully, he'll be back soon.
He's like, Michelle's talking, I'm done.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's like, all right, I'm done. Rockford, I don't want to have anything to do with Rockford. All right, hopefully, Chief Johnson will reconnect here. So I'll take you back to July 4th, 2 years ago. Chief Jogman, who's part of this podcast, lived through it. He's the chief of Highland Park. It's about 13 miles from my home. And I think and it was the 4th of July weekend. It was crazy times. And I think in the thing that calmed the public down was the PIOs getting out there and the chiefs getting out there and the fire department getting out there and everybody out there. The gentleman from Lake County, he had an Italian last name. I don't remember. He did a phenomenal job. And so let's go there, right? What is a PIO? What's your experience? What's your job responsibility? And then we'll talk about what happened yesterday and just critique what happened yesterday and how you would have been in the mix if that happened, God forbid. at a high school or a any type of school within the Rockford area?
So unfortunately, we've had some pretty bad officer involved shootings. We've had some, we had, you know, mass casualty stabbings earlier this year. So we luckily have not had any school shootings in Rockford. We've had some swatting incidents with that. But to kind of piggyback on what Chris said about yesterday, as a public information officer, I tell people, they say, what do you do? I'm like, I speak for the police. I'm like the Lorax, but I don't speak for the trees. I speak for the police. So my goal is to do what I do so they can do what they do. Get out there, be in front, try to get as much information out as possible. Chris, we talked about, we do get kind of critical when we're watching, you know, press conferences or how they handle things yesterday. And I even watched one from Macomb, Illinois this morning. It's key to get out there and have one singular message. I took the FBI lead up master PIO class, and we went through the AAR for Uvalde and the thousands of mistakes that were made in communications, pages and pages of it. They did a great job yesterday of going in front and saying, hey, yes, this has happened. Here's what we're doing right now. The shooter is in custody, but our main focus is to get these children connected with their families, these teachers and faculty and staff connected with their families. We're going to have an update. They kept saying we're going to update later at 4 o'clock. We will know more then. Yes, there were casualties. Yes, there were injuries. So they gave them a little nuggets of, you know, yeah, there's some stuff that's really happened. But then after, at the end, they had their PIOs come on and talk about, please follow us on Twitter X. This is where we're going to be posting updates. We know we don't have a lot of information for you right now. This is very fluid. This is very active. Speaking to your community is key. So as I'm watching the press conference, the sheriff said, he kept saying, I know you need your stories. I know you need your answers. That was my one thing when I was like, oh, you're speaking to your community right now. Let the media, they can take all the nuggets they want from that and they can run with it. You are talking to your community. After Uvalde and looking at the after action report and the tweets that went out from not one central person, that was key to have somebody up there. And it was perfect to have him up there and saying, this is where we're going to update. This is what we're going to do. So as a PIO, I take it, my responsibility is to get as much accurate and information out there as physically possible as we can, so that way our community knows what's going on, if they're safe or not, if they're not safe, what's happening in their neighborhoods, and to let them know that, you know, we're the Rockford Police Department. We're going to do everything we possibly can to make everybody safe and to make sure that there's justice.
All right, I'm going to go back to the chief before I throw it over to AJ. How important is it? Something happens, God forbid, something happens within your communities, okay? Sheriff department's going over there. You've got a mass shooting in each of your, God forbid, in each of your communities. You've got 300 things going through your head as a chief, right? You're, who's dead? Who's injured? Where's my staff? How much, you know, do I need extra support, right? The hundreds of things that are going on, and you're expected to be the face of your department, right? Of your sheriff's department, or your police department. How valuable is it to know that you have a PIO there to pick up the pieces and to answer the questions? So yes, you've got to be the face because you're the chief. You're the deputy chief, right? Chief might be tied up in something. They got a press conference. They're going to roll you out, Chris, right? Because you need somebody from the police department. You're second in command. Chief Johnson, you might be in the middle of finding something out, you know, you're very valuable to the investigation, or you might need to go out there and say, I'm Chief Johnson, here's what we're going on. How important is it to have that, lack of a better term, cleanup hitter, you know, your PIO there to pick up the pieces and clean it up?
Well, it's a great question. I'm surprised you formed that, Dave, but
I've been practicing it for about 6 hours. So thanks. I got two this morning to work on that.
Yeah, you did
tough
great.
Tough crowd.
You have no idea. It's been almost a year. I've been taking shots for the past 9 months. Go ahead, Chief. I can mute you at any time. Remember that. So that's fine.
Okay, good point. My wife would like that that feature. So let me give you an example. Last weekend, Labor Day weekend, I'm camping and boating with my grandkids. We have a big festival in town, multiple extra officers there. 1,500 kids show up and decide to terrorize the festival and shots fired, that type of stuff. So I'm fresh off of the lake boating with my grandkids because I worked a festival the weekend before. And here I am in my camper booting up my laptop, working with my PIO to put out a social media message. So my point of it is information is power. Information is absolutely critically important. And kind of what I go back to, my department, we're about 20 miles away from Ferguson. So remember the Michael Brown incident 10 years ago. And speaking, I think it's really about lessons learned. Speaking to the PIOs from that department, the chief, St. Louis County Police Department, the number one mistake that they made that they believed at the very beginning was not getting out front of some of the false narratives. And what I mean by that is there, we had always been taught up to 10 years ago, if you don't know all the facts, you simply say no comment, no comment. We'll make a comment when the investigation is done. Well, when I had traveled to the White House to talk about 21st century policing under President Barack Obama, they brought out their director of social media. And he had mentioned this, that in the time frame, within the first hour of Michael Brown, the name Michael Brown had circled the world 100 times more via social media than President Barack Obama's name. And that had never, ever happened before. So all you heard what was out there was things that were not factual, things that were feelings rather than facts, all these types of things. And speaking to the Ferguson police chief and St. Louis County police chief at the time, they said the difference that it could have made for their community to be able to give out information immediately could have changed the entire wave in a big way. Maybe not made it perfect, but it significantly could have helped. So getting information out there is so absolutely critical. I take the stance, not everybody agrees with it, but if it's something super, super big, I think the chief, the deputy chief should be out front. The community wants to hear from those leaders. But I will tell you this, I talk to my PIO more than I talk to my wife on a daily basis, on duty, off duty. My wife's probably happy with that. But I mean, it is a constant thing. And you also have to think today, and I think everybody on here, Michelle, would agree with it too. It's not just in front of Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 11, Fox, you know, it's all about social media nowadays. And I'll say this, and I'll be quiet for a second, is that very few people get the newspapers anymore. You know, you think about, our Citizens Academy started last night, and I got 40 people in there. I said, raise your hand. How many of you watch the 5 o'clock news every night of the week? And nobody raised their hand. It's social media. Yep. So not only do we need to answer these questions, have great PIOs, but I would imagine that probably 80% of Michelle's job as a PIO is social media. And the White House said this, you have a broadcasting studio in every police department. So we need to be better about putting that information out there consistently. And if all we are is out there during the bad times, you don't have any followers. You got to be out there during the good times, during the medium times. You have to constantly be out there to develop followers who know where to go to get the message.
I could not agree with that anymore. So on that, I think part of, like you said, you talk to your PIO more than your wife or you know, which I'm sure your wife, like you said, is like, yay, talk to her, him, that's fine. I look at myself as that I'm my chief's strategic advisor. I talk to her all the time. Like, I woke up this morning and had this idea for a video. I know that I can instantly text her and be like, hey, I had this idea for a video. I'm going to look at your calendar this morning. I need like 5 minutes. So going into the social media side of it, it's a blessing and a curse. I actually am part of our CPA coming up because it's such – an important thing to educate people on where to get their news, where to get the facts. If I'm putting a message out, where they can get it in the media, not local scanner pages, not random Facebook pages. If I'm putting a message out, here's where you can get the message, whether it's from me or it's from local media. And who are those local media partners that are sharing the messages? My video idea is we just hit a huge milestone on Facebook. We have over 50,000 followers on Facebook. And I reached out, I'm part of like multiple PIO groups. And I said, do you celebrate these milestones? Because it's like, okay, we're a police department, but absolutely we're going to celebrate them. So that was kind of part of my video is just saying, thank you. Thank you for looking for us for information, because that's where we know you're getting it. Whether we like it or not, that's what's happening. I was just at the NIOA conference last week, and 60% of people get their news from social media, which is scary because...
I'm going to be a Lou Jogman for a second. He always asks people to explain the acronyms. Can you
explain what NIOA is? The National Information Officers Association. That's where I was in Clearwater, which is an amazing organization. I would highly recommend. As much as I loved some of the speakers, it was truly the networking. I spent the week with Joe from our PIO section from Champaign, and invaluable. I mean, we bounced ideas off. I actually talked to him this morning. They got their iLEAP certification they're talking about kind of going around. Not having that, and we can even segue into AJ into our PIO section. I didn't know Joe before the PIO section, and I spent almost all week with him. He gave me some great ideas. We actually talked yesterday about a couple things coming up. So not having that connection, I it's invaluable. That's all I can say.
Like, I'll throw it to Chris real quick.
PIO people are amazing.
Yes, we've got a lot of really great people in our PIO section, which is something that I've really been excited about that we started, I want to say, what, last year, maybe February or something like that, where we've gathered just a group of PIOs. We're trying to get all PIOs in the state to join this section so we can bounce ideas off of one another. And it's not only just for that, but also in those crisis and situations where, say, there's a lot of small departments out there who don't have a PIO. They just have a chief, and that's kind of their PIO, and they might need that help if they're in a crisis situation. They might need to know, okay, so who's the closest PIO to me who might be able to jump in and start helping me get that information out there? And that's one of the key aspects of the PIO section as well. So we do have a number of chiefs who are members of the PIO section because they need that advice too. They weren't, they didn't study and train to be PIOs, you know? So we're trying to help them and give them advice as well. We have a wonderful training segment that's up on the ILACP YouTube page where we did an entire training about what is a PIO and what answering questions from people who are like, what does a PIO do? How do you become one? And what are the best practices? So if you're interested in that and you're interested in what a PIO does, head over to the youtube.com at ILACP and you'll find that video there.
I want to throw it over to Chris. Was that you who was keeping everybody informed during the shooting?
Yeah, it was.
That was you.
It was me, yes.
Okay, and there was websites that that people were setting up about you. You became like a local celebrity. No, seriously, what you did during that horrific time, and the and I live 13 miles away, okay? I came over and delivered water. I called my chief because I do water runs for police stations and fire stations up here. I followed a squad in. I called my chief, Northbrook. They sent a squad over. They took me over there. Oh my God. I hadn't seen that much equipment there, ever. Nimbus button was pressed. And I mean, I drove down, Deerfield Road there, and there were Oak Lawn Police Department, Palos Park Police Department, Oak Forest Police Department. I'm just like, holy smokes, this is pretty serious shit going on here, right? So that was you. You were the PIO for that whole thing. So kudos to you. So wow, okay. So I didn't realize that that you were the guy. So walk us through that. There was so much going on. Every 10 minutes, there was something happening, right? You went to the guy's house. Looked at the house. You knew who the shooter was, but you didn't give the information out because you were still working leads, right? You tried to trace his car, and there were like 400 different things going on. Walk us through something like that because you lived it.
Yeah, so I'll try to give you the 80,000 foot level so I don't eat up the rest of our time here. But, you know, this is where relationship building in advance is really important for a PIO. You got to have relationships with the media. You have to have relationships with local municipalities, your police chiefs, your other PIOs. It's all about relationship building in advance. So when the big one happens, there's no delays. You know who you can rely on. You know who to call. The media knows who's going to be their trusted source throughout the incident. So this was an example. You know, I don't work for the city of Highland Park, and they were managing the biggest catastrophe they've ever dealt with and trying to mitigate so many aspects of it. Led by Chief Jogman, who did a tremendous job, city manager Gita Newkirk, and the whole police department, whole city, fire department really
fire
came
department,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, kudos to all of them. I mean, never seen anything like it, and they managed it really well. But this is where a PIO is really important because as the chief, he is running a major critical incident and he has to be hands-on. The buck is stopping with him. He's making the final decisions. Being the person who's speaking on the event, that's going to be a full-time job in a situation like this. So the chief is not going to be able to extract themselves out of the critical incident decision-making and brief the media because that's going to take 30 minutes of planning before the press conference. Then you have the press conference. Then you answer questions. Then you go back and rebrief everything. So the PIO needs to be at the executive table, be a strategic advisor, as Michelle said, give input. At the end of the day, the chief makes the final decision on what information goes out. But while the incident's very active, I strongly recommend that's where the PIO should be front and center. There is a time absolutely that the chief, the deputy chief should be out there. The community needs to hear from them, but it's got to be at a time where they can put their focus towards the media and towards their community because the media is going to be that conduit. And we want to ensure that the chief is well-informed, can confidently speak on the incident, confidently communicate with their community. And I think we struck a pretty good balance overall with Highland Park, where our battle rhythm was about every hour we were going out and briefing the media. Answering questions is really important. We're not going to have all the answers. That's okay. But we have to show that we're open to the questions. And as a PIO, it gives me a lot of information because it shows me the direction the media is headed. What's the community really interested to hear at our next media briefing? And those questions help me frame what we're going to go out and what we're going to say. So we really had a great team. The City of Highland Park PIOs, city management, they stepped out of their normal roles to be able to write press releases, update social media, update the chief, whatever it took. But it was all hands on deck. What was happening behind the scenes really helped us. And that flow of internal information, that trust where all of the stakeholders in the command post, they trusted that I'm not going to release information they don't want me to release. So I was able to hear everything and it helped us frame and contextualize everything that we were saying. So that internally helped us build a confident external message and just really great leadership all around throughout that incident.
I'm going to throw it back to Michelle and over to AJ. You are not an officer, right? Prior to starting the recording, I said, I want to know, how do I recognize you as an officer, Mark Holmes? You're like, I'm not an officer. I am a private citizen of the Rock. I work for the Rockford Police Department.
Yep.
So Chris is a deputy chief up at, you know, Lake County Sheriff. And he does PIO work as well, obviously. What made you get into this? What qualifications do you need to become a PIO? If somebody's watching this that isn't part of law enforcement, but is in communications in some way, shape, or form, right? Maybe they're a media strategist, or maybe they work at a radio or television station and want to transition into being part of a law enforcement agency. And then I'll throw it to AJ to see what type of resources does the organization have to encourage and to educate those from the public, not only within the organization, AJ, but maybe some of the, somebody looking to transition out of their current job and become a PIO. What type of support does the organization provide to become a PIO? So I'll start with you, Michelle, first.
Okay, so my background, I spent 17 years as a radio promotions director. I did events. I did 3 years on a morning radio show with my co-host, Sean Henry, who's in Denver now, I believe. Or no, he's in Milwaukee. After
I'll
that,
be in Denver next week. That's the way it works. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then I spent 3 years on our ABC affiliate doing a lifestyle show. Yeah. I programmed a lifestyle show. Towards that end of that, I know this is going to sound cheesy, and I say this and people are like, really? I just didn't feel like I was doing enough for my community. Was I having fun in media? Absolutely, I was having fun. I had great ties. I did a lot in the community, but I just didn't feel like I was doing enough. Then the woman that had this position before me has two smaller children. She was moving to Missouri to be with her, closer to her family. This is a very hard job for somebody. This is a 24/7 job. I am on call. This phone rings 24/7, text. And then I have my personal phone. So anybody who's wanting to go into this role, just know that you are on call. You are that person. And that's okay. I love every second of it. Don't play this for people that and then they're going to be like, oh, Michelle loves being called at 2 a.m. You know what? If I'm called at 2 a.m., things are bad, and that's okay, because I'm going to step up and I'm going to make sure I take care of things. So when she left, she said, Michelle, I think this job would be great for you. If you want out of media, we've talked we've talked back and forth on Facebook. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. I've done video editing. I handle all of the social media. I do a lot, you know, community-wise events. I have a lot of ties. And so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to apply for it. And I beat out, I think it was 48 other people for this position. But I will say my media background, as much as people are like, ugh, media. First of all, I did the fun side of media, like lifestyle show on TV. I drink wine a lot sometimes. So did a lot of fun things, a bunch of restaurants. You know what I mean? That wasn't a rough gig. I wasn't doing hard hitting news. I was the fun side of media. Same with radio. We did events. We have City Market here. We did concerts. But my media background has made me what I feel my strong points as a PIO. Meeting with other PIOs, you're going to learn that a lot of us come from either journalism, TV, radio. It's kind of changed over the years. In FBI LITA, civilian is a bad word for us because we are not civilians. We're considered professional staff. So I've even got like in one of our general orders talks about professional staff instead of non-sworn or calling us civilians. So that's a thing because we are sitting at that executive table. We are those advisors. We are with our command staff. So kind of giving us that title makes it, especially for you've got somebody new in patrol, they don't really understand what a PIO is. So now they kind of get it when they see us in the mobile command unit, which they should when we're sitting there and we're tweeting and we're sending all the information out. We're talking to our chiefs and getting them ready. So that's kind of my background. So I would say my biggest advice is take the trainings that are available to you. If you have a budget and you're budgeting for classes or trainings, go to these conferences. Get as much. I am ABT, always be training. I will watch TikTok videos. I will watch YouTube videos. I learned how to use Canva just by using it and then ended up buying Canva Pro myself because I hadn't put it in my budget. And I'm like, this is vital. Use and view any offices or trainings, conferences, anything you can get. That's my biggest advice. Just I constantly like to absorb information. And being part of the PIO section, you have all these people. I don't want to say that I steal ideas, but hell yeah, I steal ideas. I borrow shit all the time from people because if you know what I mean, they've done these great things. I learned from everybody else. Also, I learned the bad things from everybody else of what not to do, but that's okay because then, you know, when something happens, like we had a canine that was killed here, that's not something we had ever happened. So I reached out and I was like, hey, how did you handle this? And what did you do with this? Because we had that resource group, whether it's another chief, whether it's another county, a sheriff, having all of those just connections, that's the key. The relationships are key.
And your job is a lot more stable being in the media up here at WGN, being a PIO at a police station and a police force, a lot more stable than radio and TV nowadays. So well played. All right, so I'm going to throw it to AJ. Then I'm going to come back to Steve, Chief Johnson, and Deputy Chief Cavelli. I got some questions about the videos and how important that is in your everyday life. Because like Michelle just said, the power of the phone, everybody's got their own TV studio sitting in front of you. You just got to hit play and make videos. And I've got guys on my team that are scared to death of it. And, you know, if they don't convert to that, they're going to be flipping, spinning pretzels and folding underpants in the mall, because that's the way everything is going. Nothing wrong with spinning pretzels and folding underpants in the mall. I'm just saying that you've got to put these videos out. And I want to talk with Chief Johnson, Deputy Chief Cavelli about that. But AJ, on the organizational front, what type of training and what type of outreach are you doing to members within the media that maybe, or public speaking, or, you know, doing PR work for large corporations that are tired of the grind and want something, a different type of grind, if you will?
Well, we do offer, like I was saying, we have the training video up there that we just posted last month on our YouTube channel to go over what is a PIO, how do you kind of get into it, what qualities you need, basic skills, advanced skills, and things like that. We have our magazine where I also put articles out there, not just to get a hold of other people, but mostly to get a hold of law enforcement and to let them know it, PIOs are essential. Outreach on social media is essential. It's not something that's like a luxury or something like that. It's essential to your job and it needs to be embraced. So I do put information out there via those avenues. We are going to have, our plan is to have a PIO class or a training at our upcoming conference in April, which will be with Chris and Michelle, as they are the other members of our team, section executive committee for the PIO section. So, and that you can attend our conference, but a lot of what we do is geared towards law enforcement, but we're always open to questions and things like that. And I love when Michelle's talking about her background, because I'm like, yes, 100% yes, because I was in the media for about 11 years with a news station, and I remember the Highland Park incident. I was working there, and I will tell you, I was always searching Cavelli when I was trying to find information and the latest information about the Highland Park shooting so I could put it out there, because I'm like, he's the guy. He's the guy we're going to. He's the guy we're going to listen to, not these other sources. So, yes, you did a great job, Chris. I applaud you, and I follow you, and I followed you before I knew you.
Who doesn't follow Chris, right? You mentioned his name, and everybody's like, Chris Cavelli.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, you pretty much all the married and single women on the North Shore were like, who is that? Okay. Yeah. All my wife and
we
their
need
friends.
One of those in our departments. Who's that?
As my wife says, if only they knew the real Chris.
Well, that goes without saying.
Heck, I'm gonna start following them now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. Everything. Like, wow, who's that? I'm like, he's doing his job. Oh no, he's really attractive. I'm like, okay.
Leave him alone. He's busy.
I'm like, shut up and let me hear what he has to say. You can see his. You know, they want them to zoom down to see your pants and check out, you know what you're wearing. I'm just like, I want to know what the hell's going on, right? So okay, I'm gonna go back.
To bring it back, though.
What's that?
AJ's like, to bring it back, though.
I'm sure that'll get it out.
I kind of pointed to Michelle when she was going over why she left media, because that was the exact same reason that I left media, as I stopped feeling like I was helping. I did not feel like I was helping. I had to get out. I had to do something to bring more meaning to my life and to help others with the knowledge that I had. So I think you're going to find that a lot with those who have left the media and the news background to enter law enforcement and take the PIO route, because we want to help. And yes, there's always going to be digs. Oh, they were with the media. Oh, but trust me, you're going to learn to love us because we are invaluable.
Got it. All right. We're going to finish this up with this question, because my next conference call is already chirping. Where are you? How important, Chief Johnson, because Michelle mentioned earlier, I mentioned earlier the videos and the information in those videos, and that, and the light and the attention span of the general consumer is 120 seconds, right? If you don't get it in under 120 seconds, it's been shown online with a bunch of statistics that you lose people. So how important is that down in your community? And how much training did you have to go through to get your message? Because you're not really short-winded, right? You like to talk, and you could take a one-minute egg and explain how to make a one-minute egg in 8 minutes, okay? Take you 8 minutes to explain how to make that one-minute egg. Not judging, just making an observation. How much training and how much time did it take you to get your message honed in and your PIO, you know, working with you to get those valuable videos out to the public?
So you asked the question and you answered the question within it, complaining about long-winded people, and your question was 4 minutes. So my plan now is to talk so long that you are late for your meeting.
I appreciate that.
And then I hire you at my department for janitorial work or something.
That's good. Very qualified.
Or folding underwear, maybe in our jail.
Right.
Something like that.
Flipping pretzels.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The unequivocally, what you said is factual, in that you have to get a specific message out. First of all, the day and age of no comment is over. A great media person 25 years ago told me you have to feed the wolves. And I'm not trying to offend the media by saying that, but sure. If you don't feed the wolves, they're going to go find answers. They're going to go to the neighbor's house who was arrested by the police and is addicted to heroin and hates law enforcement. And that's what's going to run at 5 o'clock or on their social media. So you better be able to answer, and you better be able to be out front with that. But I mentioned in a previous podcast when I went to the White House talking to the director of social media of the White House, is your message has to be specific. I just had the other day an hour and 54 minute body camera video that I had to watch every aspect of it to determine, did the officer do it the right way, the wrong way? Turned out she did a great job, absolutely tremendous. But if I post the hour and 54 minutes, absolutely nobody other than her mother will watch that entire body camera video. Sure. So you have to learn technology, how to drive that down to the most important aspects, and get that very succinct message out. Otherwise, you lose your audience in a big way. If you go to our social media, most of them are very specific. Some of them are only a few sentences long. Our big thing that happened last Saturday, I think, was two paragraphs at most. And we're constantly whittling it down to send that message. But if you post words, people click on it a little bit. If you post a picture, more people post on it. If you post a short video, yep, you get thousands and thousands. So that's how you win.
True. Chris, how important?
I think you're being generous when you say 120 seconds of attention, because yeah, when we found out, like looking back on recruiting and stuff, we're getting, you know, these Gen Z, you know, recruits that are coming in. They're looking at 15-second videos are long, wow, for them. 10 seconds. The average video they're viewing is 7 seconds. Like, to get that attention span, it's almost non-existent. And to do those short videos, yeah, they're clicking on those videos, but you get 15, 30 seconds in, they're done.
Yeah,
that's kind of frightening future leaders of America here. All right,
correct.
So we'll end this with you, Chris, and then I got a follow-up question for both with Michelle and Chris. How important are the videos up in Lake County, and what are you guys doing up there and gals doing up there to promote these videos and get the videos into your residents' hands?
Yeah, I think videos, photos, and text is all very important. Social media is what drives that. And it's got to be broken down into bite-sized pieces as to what's important. If I'm the resident, if I'm the consumer, why is this important to me? Why do I need to watch it? Read it, look at the photo. So it's got to be quick. It's got to be a quick hit, and it's got to be very informative. And it's driven by social media. So whether a video, image, text, it's got to be short and to the point and succinct.
And I'll leave it on this because I got to jump off to go to another Zoom call. I apologize. I know Steve is very happy about that, or Chief Johnson, sorry for not recognizing you properly. As we said prior to the show starting, it was Hugo Queso, Big Cheese, so or Caliente Queso, Hot Cheese. For some reason, I came up with that because my Spanish is so awesome.
That's Chris. He's the hot cheese.
He's the hot cheese. Yes. So question for both Michelle and Chris. We'll go to the ladies first. If a viewer is watching this or listening to this and had questions about a PIO position or what the qualifications are, or what the job requirements are, would they be able to send you an email or reach out to you at your offices to have a conversation? Or what's the best way to reach you, you both of you, if somebody wanted more information about becoming a PIO and what you're do in more detail?
Oh, absolutely. I love talking about being a PIO, and I would want everybody to be a PIO, and I want every agency to be able to have a version of a PIO, whether it's just an officer that does it part-time. It's vital. And like AJ said, it's invaluable. So absolutely. One way is just follow Rockford Illinois Police Department on Facebook. I get all the messages. I handle all the social media. So that's a great way to reach out to me. Or you can always email me, which is michelle.markham@rockfordil.gov. Just Google, you'll find me. But yes, any questions, I'm always here.
What about you, Chris? All of the ladies that want more information about how to become a PIO to be your assistant up on the North Shore and all over the United States, would you entertain inquiries, if serious inquiries about the PIO position?
Yeah, of course. Always available. Email is ccovelli@lakecountyil.gov. My direct number at work is 847-377-4180. And I'm on LinkedIn. It's at Christopher Covelli. So always available to answer questions and talk about the role, and happy to help any agency or anybody looking for advice.
Michelle, hopefully you never have an incident like Chris had to be the face of and be the point for. But if you did, you've got an unbelievable resource just south of you and southeast of you to tap into. Because once again, I didn't realize that you were the guy that was given the information. And as a resident of North Burke, which is 13 miles away from the site, you did a phenomenal job keeping us in sight. I called my kids in. We canceled the barbecue. We locked the doors. My kids are like, when are we going to go out? I'm like, when Lou tells us we could go out is when we're going to go out. But until Lou says, you're like, well, are they going to find us? I'm like, I guarantee you they will find whoever's behind this. But we're going to sit here on your ass on that couch right there until Chris and Lou tell us we could go out. And that's exactly what happened. So kudos to you and your team. And Michelle, God willing, and Chief Johnson, God willing, you never have that type of event. But you got a great resource here, a phone call away within our state, who did a great job. So AJ, you want to end it with anything, my friend?
I mean, I think we've all really covered it. I think we do need to put out there that Chris is married. So
yes,
any of the ladies who do want to be
right,
he is married happily. So
yeah, I just want to put that out there. Again, serious inquiries to both Chris and Michelle, right?
If you're
watching this, we don't want any inappropriate things. And unserious inquiries for Chief Johnson down in Southern Illinois. Okay.
I'm always good for
thanks.
That.
Thanks, everybody. This has been another great episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. Chris, thanks for joining us. Michelle, great job. Your first time out. Chief Johnson, AJ, thanks again. Again, looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home. You bought a home or refinance in the past 30 months. Rates are starting to come down. Love to have the opportunity to talk with you, your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors. 855-563-2843 or go to 56david.com. We'll post this and with all your information, everybody. So thanks. Please watch, like, and share with your friends. Take care. Until next week. Take care, guys.
Stay safe.